Welcome to the College Commons Podcast, passionate perspectives from Judaism's leading thinkers, brought to you by HUC Connect, the Hebrew Union College's online platform for continuing education. I'm Joshua Holo, your host. Welcome to this episode of the College Commons Podcast and our conversation with John Rakosny. John Rakosny is an award-winning producer and director of film, television, and music. His previous film, They Survived Together, aired nationally on PBS and earned a New York Emmy Award for Best Historical Documentary. Most recently, John has filmed nearly 100 Holocaust survivors for the USC Shoah Foundation, founded by Steven Spielberg and a partner organization of the Hebrew Union College. His new documentary film, The Kid Officer, tells the story of Holocaust survivor Fred Bierman's escape from Vienna to Mandatory Palestine. John Rakosny, thank you for joining us on the College Commons Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Start us off by telling us how you came to know Fred Bierman, the hero of The Kid Officer.
Well, as you said, my wife and I have been working for the Shoah Foundation for about 3 years. One of their board members saw the film, They Survived Together, and they reached out to us, and we started to talk to them, and then we started to interview survivors. And Fred was one of the earliest survivors that we interviewed for the Shoah Foundation. And my wife and I, Andriette Redman, have been looking for a subject for our next film after They Survived Together. And after we did the interview with Fred Bierman, on the drive home, we looked at each other after about 10 minutes and said, this is our next film. And so a week later, we called up his daughter and Fred, and we went and met with them and said, we want to do this. They said, we're up for it. So under 3 years ago, we started making the film. And it's playing in theaters now. So it's been quite a journey making this movie.
I want to pick up on your natural attraction to Fred and his story, because when you encounter Fred in the movie, he tells a number of stories. First, he brings his Viennese youth to life with all kinds of impressions and memories. But what stuck with me was the fact that when he and his family escaped to Paris after the Anschluss, his eyes light up when he speaks of the circus that he discovered in Paris. And then when they made Aliyah, he relishes the memory of viewing Mount Vesuvius from the ship as it passes by Italy. And in fact, whenever Fred relives the spirit of youth and wonder, it's clear that he still has that spirit in him, despite the horrors that one might have expected would eclipse that spirit. How did you experience him personally?
You hit it on the head. We thought from the beginning, this is a coming-of-age movie. Fred's childhood was ripped away from him by having to flee Austria. And I think all along, he was trying to make the best of it and just keep a childhood going, which shows his resilience and also his parents' good guidance. I always tell the audiences, enjoy this movie because it's enjoyable. I mean, even though some of the story is very hard, Fred's joy and Fred's sense of humor is still there. That's what really sparked us.
As much as it speaks well of him, it also is to your credit for having captured it. And it's really a delight to see. It's nice to be able to say that we should enjoy a film like that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. My wife, we work as a team, and she does all the interviewing. And she has a natural way of making people feel comfortable enough to bring out their true selves. So she gets a lot of credit for that. Also, what's important when you're making a film like this, a documentary, as we did with the family and They Survived Together, we spent an awful lot of time with Fred, not only doing interviews. We did probably 10 to 12 interviews with him over the course of 2 years, but we also just hung out with him and went out to lunch with him and had coffee with him and just really got to know him We wanted to do that. It wasn't some kind of tactic, but it's necessary for us to have the trust of the person we're making the film about both ways. We have to trust them. They have to trust us. Then you can get honesty. And our main goal is like, we want to keep this movie honest to Fred's story, and also to, as he's telling the story, show some of the outside history of what was going on at the time as well.
In addition to your having succeeded in that regard, I also want to drill down a little bit with you about some of the directorial choices you made. You made the choice to include some of the typical types of documentary footage, such as, of course, the interviews and generic historical footage, both from Friedrich's pictures from his own archive and family, but also from clearly generally available sources from the period. You also included animated illustrations that are very simple in terms of animation, but they're also very communicative and distinctive, often sweet and lighthearted. What was your principal aim in choosing not only animations, but in particular, this style of animation?
It is childlike animation, and we wanted to keep in that focus of what Fred was going through at that time and how he saw things at that time. So we did a very childlike, simple animation, sometimes sweet at times, but the tone changes a bit. As the film progresses, we switch out of that more innocent animation. And in the third act, when we get into the heavier war stuff, the illustrations become darker.
The College Commons podcast belongs to HUC Connect, the online platform for continuing education from the Hebrew Union College. HUC Connect includes webinars, syllabi for community learning, and masterclasses for HUC alumni, with interviews, expert panels, and classroom materials on topics ranging from the arts to civil society, Israel, and much more. Check us out at huc.edu/HUC Connect. Now, back to our interview.
One of the ways in which you tie the film together is through the theme of friendship. And we learn that Fred has had relationships over the course of the decades with people who ended up being very prominent. But I want to focus on one friendship in particular. He describes the friend of his youth in Palestine, a fellow student at high school, and an Arab named Zoher. Fred poignantly describes their final farewell. He says, 29th of November, 1947. I was in a bus and he was standing. We saw each other and waved to one another. That same afternoon, the shooting started and I never saw Zoher again. It turns out that later on, in a dramatic turn, Fred captures Zoher's apartment building during an early battle in the War of Independence, though by that point, Zoher and his family had already left. Fred, and I think many people, often lament how personal friendships bend and break under the weight of war, but wars in particular that pit these two people against one another. And yet, what I want to investigate with you is the fact that these same people who lament the death of those relationships seem to take for granted their own often full-throated participation in the very war that sunders the relationship in the first place. I don't know what to call that phenomenon. It's a paradox, a tension, a contradiction, a tragedy. What do you make of it?
It's a very interesting question. In that scene that you mentioned where Fred sees Zoher for the final time and he's heading back to Tel Amal, and they start to get under gunfire, and their village, Tel Amal, is being attacked, and Fred and his friend run in to get guns to protect the village at that time. I don't think there was much thinking that could be going on. Fred takes the shot to protect himself from the guy who's shooting at him, and he hits the guy, and it's the first shot of the Arab-Israeli war, oddly enough. And Fred says
he didn't feel good about it. And he says he still doesn't feel good about it to this day. Now, I think it's the pressure of being faced with how far do I go? I have to protect my family. I don't think there's many people that wouldn't pick up a gun to protect themselves and to protect their family. And I think that's how it started for him. You know, Fred often says in the film, I did what I had to do. He also states, I'm the son of my father. I'm not the son of the nation. Fred is an independent man. He believed in what he did and he did what he had to do, but friendships were much more important to him. He'd rather sit down with somebody and become friends with them and have a cup of coffee than do any of the stuff that he had to do. So yeah, it is a tricky balance. And he even says when he's in that building, I hope I don't find Zohair. It's confusing. It's very confusing, especially for a boy who's at that time, he was 16, I think.
Confusing strikes me as a very honest assessment of this kind of repeated human tragedy and problem. Yeah. And as you say, the weight of fighting is what ultimately led him to leave Israel altogether and to come to the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'd done enough of it and he realized that he needed for himself to stop and to start a different life.
So let's talk a little bit about starting a different life, because I think that living in a country composed of immigrants and the descendants of immigrants here in the United States, we take the story of migration for granted and we forget the unique courage and resilience that it requires of people. What did you learn from Fred about that particular kind of resilience and courage?
It's interesting because I think it's just something that's born into you, or he saw it in his parents and his parents had it. And we see it a lot with a lot of the survivors that we interview. We always remark about how resilient they were and how incredibly strong they were to do what they had to do to escape, to survive, and to come to the United States and make great lives for themselves. You know, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. I mean, some people say it's because of what we went through that gave us this resilience. Another person in our last film, the mother of the family had a baby after the war. She had four children that escaped together from Krakow. And after the war, she had another baby. And the mother said it was my FU to Hitler. So there's also that we're going to show you that we are strong, we are tough, and we are going to make a life of ourselves no matter what you put us through and how hard it was for us. That's what impresses me so much, just living a great life. And Fred just loves friendship. I see him a week before out to lunch, and then I see him the next week, and he's like, it's been too long, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't see my family this much. You know? But it's sweet and it's wonderful. And my wife and I getting to know Fred has been one of the best things that we've ever experienced. It's been such a blessing.
You've conducted dozens of interviews of Holocaust survivors for the Shoah Foundation, which has a truly remarkable archive, by the way. What did you learn in the course of making this film that, despite having heard so many stories and testimonies already, surprised you?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. You know, honestly, every single story that we hear has an element of surprise to it. Of course, with Fred, the surprises were the people that he was so close to. Starting out from the very beginning, okay, he's a 7.5-year-old, 8-year-old boy with a clear view of Adolf Hitler in a car during the Anschluss, right? I mean, how many people have been that close to Hitler, especially Jewish people, okay? Then the childhood friends that he makes, being friends with Ariel Sharon and living around the corner from Ben Gurion, the future king of Jordan. It's so surprising. When we're going to interview Fred for the first time, we're driving down this street in New Jersey. beautiful suburban street, nice houses, nice lawns, quiet, nobody on the street. At the end of the block, there's a little ranch house. Inside that house, this older gentleman answers the door, and this world opens up to us. This whole story is just sitting there inside his head, and we expose it to the world if we can. That is always a surprise, that they're living these simple, ordinary lives, and yet this incredible story is in their minds, is what they've been living with their whole lives. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And you do bring it from his head to the screen for us. Thank you for doing so. John Rakosny, it was such a pleasure to have this conversation. Congratulations on the Kid Officer. And thank you for joining us on the College Commons podcast.
Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the College Commons podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And check out HUC Connect, compelling conversations at the forefront of Jewish learning. For more information about all that HUC Connect has to offer, visit huc.edu/HUC Connect.